God, praise Jesus. You know, yesterday I was thinking about, and I think it's what I shared with you, Tabo, that the Bible tells us that in the last days there's going to be a hunger, there's going to be a famine for the Word of God. And you'll ask yourself, what does it mean, a famine? You know, a famine, why a famine? But yet, it is because the true Word of God is not available. The true Word of God, the real Word of God that changes, the Word of God that is not motivational speaking, the Word of God that corrects us, that rebukes us, that encourages us, that trains us in righteousness, it will be rare to find. But you see, Bethlehem, it was very symbolic where Jesus was born, because Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, the town of David. Now, Bethlehem means the house of bread. The house of bread. And so if there's a reason why he is the bread of life. That's why he told I'm the bread of life. He told the disciples, anyone who comes to me, anyone who eats of me will never be thirsty. So if God can help us to be a house of bread, you know, to be a place where we give the true Word of God, it won't matter where we are. Men will stream to come and find that bread. And if you think about, John the Baptist, the Bible says John the Baptist went to the wilderness. And he went to the Jordan and all of Israel came to him. So as long as you have the true Word of God, as long as you have the bread of life and you are distributing bread. You know, Jesus, when he gave thanks and he broke the bread, he started distributing it. He first gave it to his disciples. Then his disciples gave it to those who were seated. So bread, when bread is given, is not just meant for us alone. Bread is meant to be broken. That is the principle of breaking bread. It's meant to be broken and then given to others. And even what you're receiving, what God is helping us to learn, this is something that you need to share with someone who needs to hear. Don't let it stop with you. Distribute the bread. Imagine if you're eating it's like a river. A river that constantly feeds without an outlet becomes a dead sea. It becomes a salty sea, but any fresh river is one that has inlets and outlets. Inlets and outlets. Inlets and outlets. So even as you're learning, think and ask yourself, who is it that needs to hear this message? Or how can I share this message with someone else in a simplified way? And you might not need to share the same message every day. There is something that will come, that will remind you. Like everything that you're hearing is being recorded somewhere in your system. Your subconscious mind is actually your spirit, or your mind is more powerful than you know it. There are things that you listen even without you knowing it. So that's why we have to be sensitive what we hear, who we hear from, what kind of music we're listening, because there are things that are transmitted through certain avenues that unless we are sensitive, we don't know the things that we are tapping in our spirits. And today I want us to carry on with Jacob. And today we are looking at Jacob and Esau. And you remember yesterday we read from Genesis 25, from verse 19 to 34. And we started looking at divine election. Divine election, as I said, is a principle where God has chosen you even before the creation of the world. And how has God chosen you and me? Wherever you are at this time, God has chosen us in Christ before the creation of the world, in Christ to be included in Him. That tells you that God has made a provision for all mankind to be saved. God has made a provision for all mankind to be loved. God has made a provision for you to enter into the commonwealth of Israel, for you to be a descendant of Abraham, for you to be a descendant of faith, for you to receive all the blessings of Abraham. It is only in Christ Jesus. And many people will stumble through life, trying, fumbling, trying to make their way until they come to the source. Until you come to the person who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That's what God told Jeremiah. Before I formed you, I knew you. There is someone who knows you and me before we were formed. And that person says that in love, he predestined you to be adopted into sonship through Christ Jesus. You are loved, you are predestined, you are adopted. This is the principle of divine election. This is the principle of predestination. And someone will be like, so how? It doesn't matter. Maybe I'm born for destruction. No. God has given each and every human being a choice to enter. That's why it says, if you read Hebrews 3, it says that 4, I think. There remains a Sabbath rest. God has created a day called today that if anyone hears his voice, you have the opportunity to enter God's rest. Like God is already at rest. God finished all his labor. He rested on the seventh day. He is still at rest. But in his uniqueness, he has created a day called today. It's interesting. There are so many types of days in the Bible. He has created a day called today that if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And anyone who enters into God's rest rests from all his labors. And some of the things that we are learning is that we need to repent from dead works. Everything that we think is earning us righteousness, everything that we think is making us loved of God, everything that we think is making us holy, that is dead works. The only thing that makes us righteous, the only thing that makes us holy, the only things that will get us to heaven is because we have just simply put our faith and hope in Jesus. When you do that, you enter God's rest. You enter God's rest. And when anyone who enters God's rest stops striving, stops striving. And you see, one of the things that we see about Jacob is Jacob was striving. Oh my God. From the moment he was even coming out of the womb, he was already holding his brother's leg. Why do you want to go before me? He grabs the leg. I'm the one supposed to be first. And you know, in Hebrew culture, the firstborn son inherits a double portion of everyone else. That means the birthright meant that if there are two sons, the property will be divided into three. The firstborn son will get double, the second son will get the remaining one portion. So every portion that each of the other brothers will get, the firstborn son gets double. And he is the leader. Naturally, he's supposed to be the leader. And so you see, favoritism entered into this family. This family suffered from favoritism. And you see, Jacob, the Bible tells us in Genesis 25, verse 27, that the boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Look at how a family is divided based on the giftings, the unique giftings of the children. You can imagine, these are like temperaments. These are like characters. These are like talents. Something that was inborn. That Esau loved just the field. He was an outdoor man. He was a guy who loved hunting. And the Bible says he became a skillful hunter. That was a natural inborn gift that God gave him. He did nothing special about it. But as he became, that means he put effort to his skill, to his gifting, and then he became a skillful hunter. So it shows there's a place for training. There's a place for training. And if you need to be trained in a skill, go for training. The anointing does not cover for lack of skill. We should not be telling people, oh, just hear our voices. Don't hear the words. Don't hear the voices. Go and train that voice. Go and learn how it is to play skillfully. Don't give people excuses. There's a place for skill. The Bible says, see a man skilled in his work. He shall not serve before mere men, but he shall serve before kings. Anyone who is trained. The reason why David was even invited into the palace, the Bible says that there is a young man I know, a son of Jesse, who is skillful in playing of the harp. So it is his skill that got him to the palace. So there are things that let us not escape the place of skill, the place of training. Let us not assume the anointing will cover for our inadequacies. God will use you to the level of the capacity that you've given him, to the level of the capacity that you've exercised. If you need to go for a master's, go for a master's. If you don't have a master's and they want a master's, yes, you might get the job out of God's mercy. But immediately you get the job, go for the master's. Start online. But there are systems that you will never enter without that master's. The UN is one of them. If they want a master's, you don't have it, forget about it. No matter how anointed you are, no matter what prayers, whether you fast 40 days, it will not enter. So there are things, there are certain doors that you will not enter, but there are certain doors that you can enter. Like I've gotten a job where I needed a master's, but I didn't have a master's at that time. But immediately I entered, I started working on the master's. Because God was taking me ahead of my time. So if you find you're in a place where you're not qualified for where you are, just know that was prevenient grace. God has accorded you grace in advance, but he's telling you, you're behind my schedule. You're behind my schedule. My focus is not on skills. Let me go back to favoritism in the family. Jacob was a man who loved being indoors. Of course, the mother also was an indoor person. So what will she love? She will love the guy who stays with him. Rebecca loved Jacob because he was an indoor man. He loved staying in the tents. He didn't like going out. It's like someone likes playing football, the other likes playing chess. It's both what they love. One child loves playing football, the other loves playing chess. But because the father loves football, he loves the son that plays football. And because the mother loves staying in the house, he loves this one who plays Scrabble because he's in the house. But these are unique giftings and choosings of God. And they are not reasons to separate among children. As parents, we must ask God for the wisdom not to inflict wounds in our children by loving them unequally. They loved them unequally, and those are child wounds that the enemy latches demons on them. Children can be wounded as children, and those things can follow them for the rest of their lives. I was watching, there's a clip, you can look for it on YouTube, that speaks of Thierry Henry. You know Thierry Henry, the famous footballer of Arsenal. Do you know he says that he was never happy playing football? That he was depressed all through his playing football. Why? Because all he wanted to do was to please his father. Because the moment he's born, the father looked at him and just said, this will be a great footballer. And the guy from there, he never had a childhood. Run, football, academies, everything. And the man is like, when he's retiring, he realized it's only his family that loves him. All his playing time was just to win the approval of his father, not even of the fans. It shows us how deep-rooted childcare wounds can be. And you see, Jacob entered into a system. It was actually a system that already disadvantaged him, as I've spoken about the birthright. So you can see he was already second fiddle from his birth. But yet he did not know the divine calling of God, that God had already chosen him to rule, that he will be the ruler. He will be stronger than his brother. You understand? So there are things you can have entered a system, maybe as an African, or the family you have been born to, you're so poor. So even from your growing up, maybe you're already a refugee. You've already entered a system that has put you at the bottom of the food chain. You're already even before you get to school, you're already without shoes. You know, I remember when I was in high school and I was studying with sons of ministers, sons of big MPs and all that. There was a day, the first time I saw a convertible was in high school. A red convertible entered the, you know, because our school allowed visitation. And you could see this guy was the brothers just coming in, driving, skimming through a red convertible. And then they removed paper bags. Of that time, it was Nakumat. Eh? I think it was Nakumat, one of the big supermarkets. These large paper bags. And shoppings were being brought. More than 10 paper bags were being brought. So he was just calling other students to help him carry it to the room. I'm even thinking one of the paper bags disappeared, but does he know? and yet you're there, you barely have something to survive on. Now, that is the difference that systems can already create in you. But there is a place of redemption. There is a place where you come in Christ. When you come to read the Bible, you discover something that God says about you that is beyond the systems of this world. You find that he says that, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. That God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, every part of you, I knew it when I formed you. Every day of your life was ordained in his book before it came to be. When you enter the word of God, you discover your true nature. When now you read about Christ, you realize that you are made in his image, that you are included in Christ, that your life is in Christ and your Christ is in God. Then you discover that you carry God inside you, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then if you're carrying the God of the entire universe is inside you, what can shake you? Then you discover you're more than a conqueror. Then you discover that you've been given the mind of Christ, that your thoughts can be elevated to the thoughts of God, that your mind is gifted, that you have not received a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. You don't have, you are not irrational. That you have been given a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. When you discover that, you discover healing. You discover restoration. You discover deliverance. I tell you, I went through a time where I had issues. But when I discovered what God says about my mind, about who I am, about my esteem. And you see, these are things that you will struggle through all your life. You might think that you've conquered it, but each and every point, God reveals something to you that you need to align to his word. Now, this is the transformation of the word. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is a continuous process. It is like the washing of clothes. Every time you bathe, do you think you'll remain clean 100 times? No. You don't bathe once and you're clean for the rest of your life. No. Sanctification, renewal of your mind is a constant washing. That's why I said, be washed by the word, by the washing of the word. Each time we are reading the word, every doubt that appears, every loneliness, every self-esteem issues that appear, every challenges of poverty or lackness that appear, when the washing of the word, we are being cleansed again. We are being cleansed again. We are being sanctified. We are being made holy. Holiness is being worked in us. Righteousness is being worked. We are pursuing righteousness. We are working out our righteousness, not of our own. It is him that wills to do and to do according to his good pleasure. It is through that effort of the Holy Spirit that he continually sanctifies us in and out, in and out. We are being renewed. Where am I? I'm lost again, but it is well. Where are my notes? Okay, yes. Jacob sought the blessing of his brother because he did not know who he was. He sought to gain the election by cunning, by stealing from his brother, by conning his brother, by deceiving, by deception. Anytime we are doing things by human effort, it is because we are not sure who we are. Anytime you have to bribe to get a job, it is because you don't know who you are. Anytime you have to do corruption, it is because you don't know who you are. Anytime you are sowing a seed for prophecy, anytime you are sowing money for miracles, anytime you think you are doing certain things, you are serving men of God to get a blessing, anytime you think you are tithing so that God will cover you, yes, God will cover you, but if you are doing that, that is dead works. God says he loves a cheerful giver. Every ministry that we do, everything that we do, whether it is to the poor, whether it is fasting, whether it is loving people, whether it is tithing, everything that we do, if it is not done with love, it is a resounding gong. That is why many people are not blessed, yet they tithe. Because they are only tithing to fulfill the law. just to fulfill all righteousness. Yet you should be doing it so cheerfully. In fact, I think we should introduce a system where people dance when they come to give their offering. I've seen Nigerians, they learned that. When they are going to give their offering, is their most happiest time. I think there's a clip of a guy who dances until people are like, is he even giving anything? It doesn't matter. That joy, his gift might even be received more than you who went grudgingly giving $10,000 and feeling how now you will not be able to buy that land because you have given. It's better you repent. If you repent before you go, and even it's better you go back with your gift until you come back and give it with joy. Now, this giving applies to everything that you do for Christianity. Apply it for everything that you do. If the willingness is there, if the heart is there, the gift is acceptable. Even if you're giving small, even if you're giving 2%, that is what you are able to give, and you're giving it with joy, give 2%. God receives it. Then giving 30 because you are told someone else is giving 30%, or requiring is tithes 90%. Yes, he tithes 90%, but he does it with joy. And God has blessed him so much that he can live on the 10%. But if you are going to tithe 90% and you are in tears, you're grieving yourself and you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Let us learn the law of the church. The law of the church, the law of the New Testament is love. Love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love will make you forgive your wife. Love will make you forgive your husband. Love will help you cover your children. Love will make you see your neighbor as your friend. Love will make you see unbelievers as people who have the potential to be included in Christ. Love will make you to give something to that poor man on the road because you see them in the image of Christ. Even though they're unbelievers, love, love, love. Then we will not need to con people for birthrights because we have the birthright of Christ. We already have the birthright of Christ. Christ is our firstborn. He redeemed us as firstborn. He is our firstborn brother, and we are made like him. That means we have the right of the firstborn in Christ. My God. We have the right of the firstborn. That's why I told you, every time you read the Old Testament, point it to Christ. It is a pointing finger pointing to Christ. You have the right of the firstborn. You're a firstborn of God. That means every double blessing of Christ. Please go and read Revelation. I think it's 12, where it says that everything that is accorded to the Christ, power, wisdom, strength, riches, wealth, beauty, everything. Now put yourself there because you are in Christ. When he was dying, you are in him. When he's being resurrected, you are in him. When he's in heaven receiving the scroll and the honor, you are in him. I stopped there, man. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. My brothers, you come. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that wonderful word. I think there was a lot that was said there.
Amen.
About our inheritance, about our first. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the word says, come in the house of the Lord. Thanksgiving. So you don't in the house of the Lord, but it's not only at the point of offering, but also as you
everything about your Christian life, even how you wake up, just be thankful to God.
Just be happy about it.
Yes. Rejoice, yes.
Sometimes we take it as if it is something we need to check on the list and say this was done. And what's the thing about, we just need to love it. We need to love it for all of us. And yet, I will not add much because of time. I will just say thank you for the reminder. And we will listen to the audio later.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
To dig deep into that word.
Yeah, and I'll encourage you, make notes after I finish, because many times I speak by unction, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So there are things that I will say that will not be in the notes. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So as I speak, there are things that are being imparted. So someone who just reads might not get without the hearing. And hear it again, replay it. Even when you get time over the weekend, just put your earphones, start listening again from the beginning, and just keep them. If you need a memory stick, keep them. I'll try and see later on if God leads me to. We'll open up something where we can just have all the audio somewhere. I'll find a way. I'll see what can be done on that. Yeah, maybe a podcast or something like that. But we'll see that in future, but not for now. Yeah, when God allows. Yeah. Yeah, Yemen.
It's fine, it's fine.
All is well?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we thank God. I think we can. I don't know if there are specific needs. Let me just stop it for now. Then we have some time to pray.